going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm excited to hear about it and talk with Connor about 10 minutes.
When you're building a team, especially in football.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You want a lot of players with high character. And then you want a lot of high characters who can play.
Well, that's what I'm saying
and
right now.
Finding that mix is hard.
Because Dre Greenlaw was that guy that played on an edge.
Oh, 100%.
And not to say anything like off the field is bad about Dre Greenlaw.
No, very nice guy.
But on the field, I want some nastiness. Exactly. So he could be as nice as you want in person. But on the field, I want you to be like Troy Polamalu and like diving at people. That's what I want.
Joe, you know, it's the league is so different now, right? Like than what it was 15 years ago. But every time that the Niners...
particular.
Every time the Niners have been good since the Harbaugh era, it's coincided with a pretty stout front seven. Now, whether you want to go to the year that they didn't allow a rushing touchdown until, like, whatever, week 17, or if you want to talk about this team that went to the Super Bowl in 2023, they've always had a wave of really elite players in that front seven.
What won the Eagles the Super Bowl? A couple months ago. There you go.
Well, now, their back end was really good, too.
But also, they didn't blitz once.
They were ferocious.
They just destroyed the Chiefs' offensive line. Mahomes had no shot in that game.
And I look at two different players. There's the kid, Zach Bond, who was a free agent who no one had ever heard of. And the kid from Georgia who played on the edge. Come on, the name's evading me now.
Jalen Carter.
No, the other kid.
Sweat?
Nolan Smith.
Oh, Nolan Smith. Got it.
When they brought, and Jalen Carter was good prior to Fangio coming in, right? We knew he was kind of like going to be really good. But when you have Fangio, you know that he's going to get the most out of certain players. I think now with Robert Saleh here, Chris Kocurek, the Niners feel a little more comfortable maximizing a player who has higher upside as opposed to maybe, you know, we do these things, lower ceiling. There's no such thing as a low ceiling.
No.
Like, I thought Mac Jones had a low ceiling. And actually, it could get worse. You know what I mean? Like, we find that out. Any player can bust. Any player can be good. That's kind of the craziness of the draft. No one had George Kittle being a Hall of Famer. No one had Brock Purdy being a 3-year starter. You know? And everything in between from, you know, Javon Kinlaw being on his fourth team or third team or whatever, to Nick Bosa being a Hall of Famer. You just never know. But when you have Robert Saleh, when you have Chris Kocurek, I think there is an infrastructure in place where you feel a little more confident to be able to take a traitsy guy, which is what this guy is, with high character and say, all right, he's really good at stopping the run. Can we develop some of the hand moves? Can we add layers to his pass rushing skill set? Can his ankle, you know, remain healthy and not be banged up where it's compromising his explosion? Clearly, the guy is a physical freak. Clearly, he's got power. Can they teach him some of the nuances? I don't know. We'll find out.
Well, your boy Mel Kiper Jr. talked about it yesterday. A lot of people like the draft prognosticators, right? You had Louis Riddick, whether you're watching the ESPN feed or watching NFL Network, right? You got Joel Klatt defending the hell out of Shedeur Sanders and not knowing why he kept falling and falling. That was kind of the theme last night. We'll get to Shedeur because that is a big takeaway from the first round yesterday. And you know what? It might be a storyline if he's still falling and the 49ers are picking... You know, what was the exact number? Hold on, I got it right here. Pick 43. So if he's still falling 11 picks into the second round, do you consider that? 888-957-9570. But Mel Kiper, Booker McFarland, Louis Riddick, they love the pick.
Yeah, he had a high grade going into the season, Greeny. Then he had that ankle injury, a left ankle injury against Clemson, came back from it and played and didn't shut it down. Continued to play. That's it. He's somewhat productive. I mean, he had 9 tackles for loss. He had 5 sacks. He forced a couple fumbles. He looks the part of an edge rusher in the National Football League with his size, his long arms, 34 and a half arms, and huge hands. What he needs to do is get a more repertoire of moves going, coming after the quarterback off the edge. I thought he played the run great. He has a strong run defense off the edge, but as a pass rusher, I thought a little bit more work, that pass rush specialist that these teams have who have to get the most out of Mykal Williams.
And that's ultimately what needs to happen, because you need to get the quarterback down. I'm from the Al Davis school of thought. The quarterback must go down. He must go down hard. That's how you set the tone. That's how the Eagles set the tone in the Super Bowl. Mahomes had no shot in that game on. Like, you watch in hindsight, they were battering and bruising him early. He had no confidence in his O-line, and thus he was making mistakes left and right. That's what the 49ers need to get back to, and how quickly can Mykal Williams do that? Because we're talking about this draft class, Joe. You know, we looked at the Eagles. Now, were the 49ers where the Eagles were at this time last year? I don't think so. I think the Eagles had more talent top to bottom on that roster. But that being said, it was that draft class of Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, and shoring up that secondary that was putrid just a season prior, and that being the missing link, and that carrying them to the Super Bowl with that defensive line.
But now, also Vic Fangio.
No, yes, that helps a lot.
Yes.
Now you're bringing back Robert Saleh for the 49ers, who you have been to a Super Bowl with. You've made sweet love together at one point. Can Mykal Williams get off the ground running? I'm not asking him to be a double-digit sack guy in his first year. That's a lot of expectations on the young man. Can you take some of the pressure off of Nick Bosa? That's what I need from him.
But Joe, if this were last year's defensive coordinator, I would say, what are we doing?
Wow.
No, I think that this
factor, good point. Yes.
I think this factors in. Like, when the Chiefs take someone on offense, like they did yesterday, that offensive tackle, you know what I say to myself? Andy Reid will probably get it right. Whether he does or doesn't, like, he's earned the benefit of the doubt, right? And there are certain players on their defensive side where I'm like, yeah, I really trust. Come on, what's the guy's name?
Oh, Spagnuolo.
Yeah. I trust Spagnuolo to get it right, right?
Spags.
Monty Kiffin was a guy that I gave the benefit of the doubt to. Oh, Monty Kiffin's got him. Dick LeBeau's got him. He'll figure it out.
Right.
Robert Saleh does kind of get some benefit of the doubt. Maybe not to the degree of those names that I mentioned, but I think that factors into why you would feel a little more confident in this player becoming that type of a guy. Because, you know, when Robert Saleh was here, a lot of guys took a step forward. DeForest Buckner took a step forward. Eric Armstead took a step forward where he figured out what his position was and how to maximize him. Whereas prior, it's like, is he a D end in a 3-4? Is he a D tackle? Like, what is he? Obviously Bosa's been good with or without Robert Saleh, but I think a lot of guys have shown a lot of promise with him. And so I think that they're banking a lot of this into the Saleh stuff.
Brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. So that was Kiper. This one was more interesting from my perspective, though. Booger McFarland on the draft broadcast yesterday for ESPN, talking about Mykal Williams having things you just can't teach.
He's got the things that you cannot teach, the traits, the height, the arm length, the ability to set the edge and play the run. We know he's technically sound playing at Georgia the way Kirby Smart coaches defense. The only concern I have is when it comes to using those traits and getting to the passer, I didn't see much of a rush plan, Lou. I didn't see any moves besides the speed to power. He's going to have to continue to develop the moves, because when you get to the National Football League level, just the traits won't win. You have to have more than traits. You need to be able to have a pass rush arsenal. How are you going to beat the offensive tackle and get to the quarterback? John Lynch loves it. He loves defensive lines. You're going to pair him with Nick Bosa, create two bookends. But is he going to be able to live up to this feeling as far as the pass rush arsenal? I want to see that.
So it comes down to technique, right? And Chris Kocurek, who we have been glowing and raving about, it feels like forever when it comes to the defensive line, right? No, you give him an Arden Key or a Cleef Earl. You come here, you save your career, and you can get signed somewhere else for a couple more $1 million than you came in with, right? I think that shine's worn off a little bit in the last couple years. This needs to be a hit, as far as I'm concerned. Michael Williams is a whiff. Yeah, I don't see this team. Like, and again, the draft's not over. Maybe they shore up. Maybe they get a defensive tackle at some point. Well, I'm not sure. They have the pick 43 today. They have pick 75 in the third round, pick 100 in the third round as well, and then a bunch more. So maybe you do some trade packages. But as far as I'm concerned, like, Michael Williams needs to be a hit for this team and this defense to get back going again. Like, they need production elsewhere.
Of course.
You said, you even asked the question early on. Outside of Nick Bosa on that D-line, who do you trust? No one. The answer is no one.
I know. And there are a lot of other players that are available in this draft that the Niners could select. Look, I don't view this team as one player away.
No, of course not. But this defensive line definitely needs to start shoring up.
But that's where I would go to you. Like, when they've been at their best, let's go back to the Harbaugh days. It was Alden, Justin Smith. Okay, Ian Williams, Isaac Sopawaga.
There was a lot, yes.
Right? There were a lot of different guys. Ray McDonald, who's criminally underrated. That's probably the worst word to use.
No pun intended.
Yeah, I did not mean to do that. Ahmed Brooks, who was an outside linebacker, but basically was an edge rusher. When they were good in 2019, D Ford, Nick Bosa, obviously they had Eric Armstead and Buckner.
Yep.
But they also had Ronald Blair. They had random guys that were like stepping up. People forget they have random guys on that team. Kerry Hyder was on that team in 2019 and then ended up leaving and then coming back. So you've got to have depth. That's why, Joe, I'm looking at this and I continue to come back and say it. They need multiple D tackles in the middle rounds. They need probably another linebacker somewhere early. They need a lot of more offensive line help and maybe another playmaker. This team is 5 or 6 contributors from this draft away from being back in the playoffs. That's the way I view it.
That's fine. I need this first round pick, though, to be a hit first and foremost.
Of course.
Because it does feel like this is the round that they've struggled in the most. Like, just think about it. The players that they've been able to re-sign in this regime of Shanahan Lynch that they drafted in the first round is who? Nick Bosa and Brandon Ayuk. Like, that's it. And the Brandon Ayuk one, you regretted it immediately.
But
Did you not?
Yeah, but I kind of considered Debo. He was literally the 34th pick.
I know, but he was, but I'm just,
I know.
Telling you, it's different.
Yeah.
And the pay scale is different in the first round compared to the second round. So
no
that's
doubt.
Why it matters. So Michael.